Send me the, send me, so in your, you know your wife's name? Send me that info.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
And then I'll go, like, how it should be titled, and your parents' names. Or just price. Is it the cost 50-50, or what do you...
Any cost incurred, all you're paying one way or the other. So,
right, yeah. Just come on your side.
I'll talk to the broker. Because I'm trying to figure all that out.
Do you think your parents have the title work from when they bought it?
I might.
If you do, that would save you a lot of money. Yes. So if you dig it out, anything they would have got from the bank or from the buyer, there'd be like a deed.
Big envelope somewhere.
Bring it to the bank.
Just matter of
time. If you have that, that'll save a lot of money in time.
Okay.
That's probably it.
Well, the sellers for the first 6 months of this year.
A man and his wife, and I can't remember their names. Two marketplace.
Sounds like a great idea.
The weather's been good. They can't be too high.
Yes, it is.
The third time discount is $150. Agreed. I'm not sure that would go up. Wow.
Camera ready, Andrew? All set? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the February 1st meeting of Orrville City Council. If you'll stand, we'll be led in prayer by Pastor Paula Marbury from Trinity United Methodist Church.
Let us pray. Creator God, we thank you for the men and women you have called here to serve this community of Orrville. We give you praise for the heart and integrity for which they carry out their jobs. Please continue to bless them with the spirit of unity as we go forward in what is sure to be a contentious political year for our nation. Let the men and women serving this community be a shining example of putting people and community first. We give you thanks for your continued presence with us this night. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor. Everyone should have received a copy of the minutes of our January 19th City Council meeting. Are there any additions or corrections to those minutes?
Yes, ma'am. We need roll call first.
Oh, thank you. Oh, may we have roll call, Ken?
Shu?
Here.
Wilson?
Excused.
Vance?
Excused.
Hampshire?
Present.
Asparis?
Here.
Korfman?
Here.
Larson?
Here.
Now we'll go to our minutes. Does anyone have any questions, any additions or corrections to those minutes? Yes, sir.
I move that those minutes be accepted.
We always do this.
I know.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
Second, Mr. Larson.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shu?
Yep. We will move to our standing committee. We have no public comment this evening. We'll move to our standing committee report. Finance, Mr. Spears.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report.
Thank you. Utilities, Mr. Korfman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I had a weekend trip to Niagara Falls, and our NIPA power is still running smooth. Water's going to the falls. We're getting our 1.1 megawatt. Other than that, I have no further report.
Thank you. Mr. Vance is not here for the Health and Safety Committee, and Mr. Wilson also is not in attendance for Park and Recreation. We'll move to transportation. Mr. Shute.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report. When I was in Columbus this weekend, and the politicians are still there.
They're still there. We will move to planning. Mr. Hampshire.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report, sir.
Thank you. Ordinance and personnel. Mr. Morrison.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report, and I find nowhere interesting to report.
Okay. I'm sure your bicycle got some sort of workout this week. Okay, we have no special committee reports. We'll move to administrative reports. Mayor Handwerk.
Actually, Mr. President, I thank you, but I have nothing to report tonight other than to remind council members and anyone in the audience that our next meeting will be on Tuesday instead of Monday.
That's okay. Thank you. Safety Service Director, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report tonight either.
Thank you. Utilities Director, Mr. Brediger. What's up?
Okay, somebody's got to say something, I guess. Just a few departmental updates. Electric Department, we're continuing on with the rate study and our power supply study. We hope to wrap up those two major projects later on this month or in March. We did submit some new permitting language to Ohio EPA that will allow us to move forward with the retrofit work later on this fall. In the AMP newsletter that was mailed out to City Council Board last week, you may have noticed that two more of our hydro units came online, one of the three units at Camelton and one of the three units at Meldall came online. This is three out of the eight units that should come online later on this quarter. Our last plant, Smithland, with three units will be coming online before the end of the year. So those projects are coming on board, and you know, we are taking energy from all three of those in January. Water plant, I'll speak to the resolution later on. With a lot of the media focus on lead up in Flint, Michigan and Sebring, Ohio, I thought I would just provide this body an update on where Orville Utilities, especially the water department, is on that issue. I'd like to provide a little bit of background on our water quality program. First, all of our water comes from 11 wells located in four different well fields versus the open water sources where a lot of communities get their water from. Our plant that was built in 1997 treats about 2 million gallons of water a day. Background into the lead testing, the EPA started focusing on lead in drinking water in the early 1990s. Shortly afterwards, we replaced all of our lead-lined service lines that we had on record. And in 1992, the EPA started requiring testing for lead. The test locations were houses that were built during the time period of 1983 and 1987. This is because when lead solder was still being used to braze or fuse the copper tubing connections. In 1992 to 1993, we had to run 40 samples twice a year to establish baseline levels. Because the levels were so low during that period, we were allowed to reduce our sampling to 20 samples once a year from the years 1994 to 1996. Our levels continued to stay low through this period, and we were approved to reduce our sampling to 20 samples every 3 years. Since that time, we have never had any results that have required us to do any additional sampling or monitoring. In January 2014, another lead requirement was initiated by a federal EPA that prohibited the installation of any water meter, valve, fitting, etc. that contains lead. At that time, we switched all of our water meters, valves, and fittings over to a plastic, a composite type material, and we stopped stocking any components that had lead in it. Our last EPA water quality report in 2014 that's mailed out to all of our customers indicated that our lead levels were 5 times below the EPA's action level. We do send out samples to independent labs for analysis. And in addition to the lead, we do test for several other inorganic and volatile organic and synthetic compounds, and we also test for pesticides, herbicides, radium, pH, chlorine, hardness, and coliform. There's about 20 tests in all that we perform on a very periodic basis, and all of those have all been within the EPA's acceptable levels. So I will affirm that our water quality program that we have in our community is in great shape. So can't really pick up the paper or turn on the TV with those two communities in the news. And I'm sure that as a result of that, there will be some other regulations or tightening of some of the issues surrounding lead that will be coming upon us. On the miscellaneous area, our state association, AMP, will be introducing what they call a utility shield program. I believe I've mentioned this before in the past. We've had a couple discussions with it at the utility board. But it's an insurance program that covers a lot of utilities from the home, also inside the home. This program will be rolling out in February, and we will have a presentation on this. Like, for example, your gas line from the gas meter to your house is not covered should anything go wrong with that, for example. You have a problem with that, that's on your own. That's not covered under homeowners. Likewise, for the sewer line, this program will also cover internal plumbing, internal electrical issues, major HVAC and heating systems in your home. It's like an a la carte. It's similar to some of the programs that have already been out and offered by other utilities. Dominion East Ohio has a utility line protection service program. These are, again, an a la carte, and they also offer a full-blown gambit offering. Prices that start very, very modestly from $5 or $6 a month to something that may cover your entire house for a little bit more. So we'll be having some programming and some presentations on that, and we may combine a utility board along with city council so we can have that presentation made at city council meeting so we can have that viewed on Armstrong. So there'll be some more information coming out on that. That'll be a program that from a utility perspective, we are completely hands-off. We will endorse that. One of the nice benefits of the program, this has already been vetted through our state association, and for every customer that signs up for these various programs, we receive a little bit of rebate for that, and that's a revenue generator that we can look at using some of those some of the income from that to fund some other projects and programs here. So you'll be hearing a little bit more about that. And a couple weeks ago, Congress did extend the tax credit dealing with new solar installations. They're extending those credits out to the year 2020. That will allow us more time to evaluate some potential solar sites within our community. Before that tax credit was renewed, it was set to expire at the end of December of this year. So we have a little bit more time to continue evaluating potential sites, get our long-term power supply study back and see if there's some future fits for us there. And that's all I have, unless there's any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will move to our finance director, Ms. Stremlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just two quick items this evening. Before the meeting, I did distribute the quarterly investment report for the last quarter of 2015. It doesn't require any action by council, but I do need the minutes to reflect that it was distributed. I'll go over the investments and other financial matters during my annual report in a couple months, I guess. And the last item would be the fund balance report for the period ending December 31st, which I also distributed. This
fund balance report, I would ask council for a motion to approve that subject to audit.
So moved. Thank you. Second, Mr. Corcoran.
Ms. Ferris?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Corcoran?
Yes.
Larson? Chu?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We'll move to our law director, Mrs. Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report this evening.
Thank you. For my report this evening, I have two items. They are both applications for placement of farmland in an agricultural district. And I'm going to let Mr. Wheeler speak to these. He's spoken to both of these people.
Yes, but for some of our newer council members, you may not be familiar with what this actually does, but this application for placement of farmland in an agricultural district actually happens fairly often within the city limits from the various farms that exist within our city limits. What it does, this designation does, is it protects those properties against assessments for electric, water, or wastewater services, so the property could not be assessed for running those services. It also limits the use of eminent domain to no more than 10% of the property, and also there's a clause that it would be protected from some of the nuisance legislation. For instance, the equipment would be exempt from any kind of noise ordinance, or probably more important to them is if they're to do fertilizer, you know, there wouldn't be any protection for, they'd be protected for odor complaints, those kind of things. These two properties that we have, one is on Crown Hill, one is east of our I don't know where you use the word old, but our first industrial park. Both of those have some of their property is within city limits, others is out of it. We've not historically had any complaints on these two properties. From my understanding, what the city has done in the past, a public hearing is required. We could schedule a public hearing for our next council meeting. If you do not schedule a public hearing, then it automatically goes into effect and allows them the right for the designation. Normally, or typically, if you will, city council has chosen not to hold public hearings and just allow those to go into an exemption. That is purely up to you guys, though. If you want to have a public hearing, then we can schedule that. It does require advertisement, so there's some costs associated with that. But that's sort of what the designation is for. One of them is Ed Schaub, and the other is Dean Arnold. Those are the two applicants.
Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Wheeler? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Wheeler, are we required to notify adjacent property?
We are not required. That's what the advertisement is for. We would advertise in the paper. It has to be with 7 days prior to the public hearing.
We don't have to personally send letters.
There is not a letter requirement within the Ohio Revised Code.
Okay. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Do you see any issues?
I do not see any issues with either property. They've both been used for farming in the past, so obviously they've used those. They both have currently under the designation as well. So it's really just a normal part of these properties. Mr. Schaub said he was planting corn this year on his. Mr. Arnold didn't know what he was going to plant on his, but either beans or corn as well. So, you know, those are properties that are currently used for farmland. I really don't see any difference with the designation from what they're already doing with the property.
Thank you.
For both of these, there have been no complaints at all for either?
No, sir.
Okay. We want to just let those go as they would. Okay. All right. So you'll handle that, Mr. Wheeler?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. That's all I have for this evening. We have no old business scheduled. We'll move to new business. Mr. Larson.
Resolution number 316. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Corcoran.
Corcoran?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Ms. Ferris?
Yes.
Resolution number 316, a resolution authorizing the Board of Control to enter into an agreement and or agreements with the State Auditor's Office to prepare the annual audit for for fiscal year ending December 31st, 2015, and declaring an emergency.
Ms. Sterling.
Thank you, Mr. President. We do need to issue a purchase order for the expenses that are associated with the audit for 2015. This is an expenditure that's split among several funds. It's estimated that the amount for the city side will be over the $15,000 threshold, so we would ask council to approve entering into the contract with the state and also granting authority to the Board of Control to issue a purchase order to cover the full potential of the expenditure.
Ms. Strimlin, how soon does this have to happen?
We can hold off until the next meeting. It's fine. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Anyone have any questions for Ms. Strimlin? Move to the next item.
Resolution number 416. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Corcoran.
Thorson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Resolution number 416. A resolution authorizing the Safety Service Director to enter into a contract and or contracts for the lease of concession stand space for the sale of soft drinks, ice cream, candy, popcorn, peanuts, and other like items at Orr Park for the years 2016 and 2017.
Mr. Wheeler. Thank you, Mr. President. This resolution allows us to go out for bids for leasing of the park concession stand and the one that's in the pool. Those are two-year agreements. The current two-year agreement expired at the end of 2015. Historically, interestingly, since 1986, we've had three vendors that have had control of that. But unfortunately, over the last several years, we've only had one that has been bid. So there isn't any guarantees that we'll get any bidders. In the meantime, we've had some discussions with one of the school organizations. I prefer not to say which one so that they can, because I'm not sure the whole board of that folks know about this. So I don't want them to hear about it on TV, if you will. But in the meantime, they've expressed some interest. I don't know where that will go. So in the meantime, my plan is to go out for bids, but I think that is a good opportunity that would potentially be a win-win for a really good organization that knows how to run these kind of concession stands, and would also get someone that's fairly reliable. In the past, Matt Plyben, Pat Longyear, I mean, those folks have been great running the concession stand. Unfortunately, they haven't done it in a number of years. Our last vendor there was a little more unreliable and wasn't consistent with their timing, and I think they missed some great opportunities to make some money there as well and provide a service when the park was really busy. This obviously doesn't have to be passed tonight, but I did want to sort of get it in front of you, so if we do need to go out for bid, then we'll be ready to do that after the next council meeting.
Anyone have any questions of Mr. Wheeler?
The contract price has been anywhere from, you know, $1,000 to $1,200 annually. So obviously not a significant amount of money, but there is some money that we make.
Okay, we'll move to our next item.
Resolution number 516. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
We allowed to suspend the last.
No, we are not. Okay. Two people are missing. You have to have six votes to suspend.
A second, yes.
Okay, Mr. Corcoran, seconds.
Shoup?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Thorson?
Yes.
Resolution number 516. A resolution authorizing the Public Utilities Board of Control of the City of Orrville, Ohio, to advertise for bids and to enter into a contract and or contracts for lime sludge removal and declaring an emergency.
Okay. Mr. Brediger, any comments for this one?
Yes, sir. I did send out a memo on the 26th of January describing some background on this. We do have two lime lagoons. These lagoons deal with the lime sludge as part of our water softening process. Every 4 to 5 years, we cycle and we clean two of those out. We're just coming up on that need again. This is a budgeted item. We're budgeting about $220,000 on this. We will bid this out. Part of the contract not only involves cleaning out these ponds to get them in shape to be used over the next 4 or 5 year period, but it also handles disposing of the sludge on area farms, so they use this as part of their soil amendment process. And again, this does not have to have any action on it tonight, and I'll take any other questions or might have on that.
Anyone have any questions? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. As you said, Mr. Prager, this is not the first time this has come up, but I do have a question. Have we ever looked at, and is there any advantage to like an ion exchanger with a brine medium?
I won't say that hasn't been looked at. I think it's just an economies of scale and the type of water that we have. I'll have to check with Mr. Fetty on that. I think this question has come up in the past. I can't give you an answer for that, but I think it's just a function of the type of water that we have and the economics of softening it, that this is the most economical process that we have. But let me I'll get back with you and follow up with how that option would compare against how we're currently doing business today.
I mean, I don't know a lot about it, but from my understanding, there is no sludge byproduct of the ion process.
In that process, that is correct. And there are other costs
right.
associated with that right. that would have to be offset there. So there's let me find out what the economics and the technical differences and the applications are for that. We do not use that type of process at the plant, but it depends on the type of water that you're looking at needing at the end of the day, the volumes and things along that line. So oftentimes when you get into those types of medium, you have to have some more upfront equipment to kind of do some more pre-filtering or pre-work before it goes into those ion exchange that may make that process a little more more complex than it needs for typical water plant operations. But let me get some more background information, and I'll provide that to you at the next council meeting, if that's okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone else have any comments?
Lime sludge does help the corn grow.
Does it?
That's good.
Thank you. That finishes our new business for this evening. The next item on our agenda is Chief Carosa with his annual report for the police department. Chief?
Didn't get enough sleep. I'm just doing math for 2/3. What's the math for 2? I got 7 people.
I know, you brought it up.
0.66 times 7 is.
Oh, does it not work still?
It's right. Well,
my
hands
were bad. I forgot all about
it.
Yeah. Oh, nice. This is the right one right here, Steve. He changed it. He got a new wire. It didn't work. That was nice of him to tell us.
I was getting my heart was sinking.
I like that.
It seems like it's coming from the ViewSonic, doesn't it? Not the laptop. It is coming from that. It's going to explode.
That's our sound right there. Not good, I'm guessing.
Want another one? How bad do you want to do this tonight?
I want to do it. See, what's someone, Dino, he wants to do it. He wants to
get
do
it done.
It. He wants to get it over with.
Maybe there's just some.
That's kind of
no. It's in the projector.
That's right.
Yeah, when he touches it, it's
I know. When he puts his hand over that fan.
I've never heard that before.
Dino, put your hand on the side of the up further. See it go away.
Yeah. It muffles it. Yeah.
Is there a microphone on that thing?
There we go.
Yeah, he turned it on.
See that it was on.
That's the noise to indicate that.
Yeah. That's not going to go back.
Is it lighting up now?
No.
He's in the buffer.
I'd say it's dead.
Mm.
It's old. If you don't stand in front of the computer, we can see your little picture.
That's frustrating.
How does it sounds like
I think Jeff went to go get another one.
Snow on the TV when you were little.
Yeah, that's
snow on
the TV.
Where it's
going.
What was
it? I don't
even know what that is.
What movie was that with a little girl went up? E.T., right? The little girl went up and touched the static on the TV.
No, that was it Poltergeist?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Poltergeist.
I didn't see Poltergeist.
That's right. That's what it was.
I did see E.T., but that was 100 years ago.
Oh, it was something creepy. I remember
yeah, it was
that.
Very creepy. She went up and touched that and said something. Look that up. What was that, she said?
I don't know.
Shoot. They're here.
They're here. That is right. Yeah.
Isn't that terrible? Yeah. They can't remember something like that. No, really not.
Even oh, there
when,
it goes.
Even when I watch, what's that? Oh, that
what
my hands are into that sort of supernatural.
Oh,
I can't sleep when I watch that. I have terrible
ideas.
It just gives people ideas. It's so realistic.
You have to hold it, yeah.
I can't handle it.
If you pen it just right, it will not work, actually. Smack it.
All right. Pick your own, Jeff.
Oh, well. All right, you got a plan B?
I guess so. We have no choice.
We have no choice. This one rents out real cheap.
Okay.
Real cheap.
$10,000.
Per minute.
Right.
Per minute. Wow. I like that.
Wow. Just shoot money from one budget to the other.
That's right.
All right. That's big at all.
So Steve just emailed me that info.
Yep, I'll do that when I get back in the office, Steve. I'll just press it, try to get it rolling.
Do you have a date? A date for closing? Do you know what the date is?
No, he's we
just started.
Well, yeah, but he's got a fast track.
I was at a basketball game before this, and it went right to the wire, and I can barely. My throat is killing me. I'm screaming. They wanted it, though. They were skinning their teeth at the very end.
You were at a basketball game last year, so. Oh, which is why I smell.
Did you find that one? That one that they talked about? There was a new massage parlor where we're asking to raise that?
Oh, no. I went to Dr. Camp's office. It's from down the.
Where's Dr. Camp?
Crown Hill, where Fred Johnson's outlet.
Right?
Oh, okay.
Dr. Camp. Yes, I'm calling.
Like, kind of doctor's
here. I'm in trouble. He's a guy actor with my hand.
Good news is all the hiccups out before mine.
See if it makes a difference. Yeah, so far, it just hurts.
Thanks for being the guinea pig.
One of our hockey players had a girlfriend who was overseas, and she used to tell us the crazy story. She worked at Helen Boyd Brewster. And this Irish guy that bought a was like an hour-long session, and all he needed was a toe.
Oh, my God.
She was the freakiest. I mean, my kids were like, as soon as she walked into the
That's what the weirdo was that you were. That was a bunch of. The guy had diarrhea on it. Oh my gosh. Craziest stories. People grunt, people had BO. And our favorite was the guy who just wanted his pinky toe.
And this lady, I'm just like, okay, you don't use any voice. Tonight. And then next thing you know, I was about to listen to him.
Because I think that's actually the stick in the laptop.
That should help circulation. And I'm like, great, I'll rather smell like a tree.
That didn't help? Just hurts?
It helps some, but not a lot. Not $50
for it. I've only had it a third time. It's because my husband used to have these meetings and the wives would get these spa treatments.
Good?
This is the first time I got it. I'm like, I have a really bad sunburn, just be really careful that my arms were bright red. Next thing I know, he's like pulling on my arms and I'm like, I had a calf set up and screamed and I'm like, no. Oh, yeah, sorry.
How can he not see
that? It was like bright red. I don't know if it was really stupid of me not to be careful, but it was obvious that it was bright. Hey, how do you visual look
like? Same thing, Jeff, we're saving the day.
It's okay. I'll bill later on that.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Chief Dino Carosa. In just a few moments, I'm going to begin the 2015 annual report for the police department. However, first I'd like to thank the officers and the dispatchers for a great year in 2015, and I greatly appreciate the effort they put forth each and every day. Go ahead and begin the presentation at this time. This is a mission statement. We have four core values. They are courage, honor, trust, and compassion. This is the 2015 department roster. If you look in the lower right-hand corner, you see some pictures here of our newest officer that was hired full-time last year in October. Her name is Elizabeth Herbert. She just finished a 16-week field training program yesterday, and tonight's her first night on the road by herself. So we're glad to have her on board. This is our social media page. Captain Matt Perfect is our webmaster. He does a phenomenal job managing the social media. We have nearly 7,000 likes for Facebook, approximately 2,000 followers on Twitter, and we also have our TIP 411, which is typically used to report criminal activity, information regarding people with outstanding warrants, or just general complaints or concerns that people might have. This is our prescription drugs drop box. It's located in the basement of City Hall, right across from the dispatch window. If anyone has prescription drugs that they want to dispose of, Monday through Friday during normal business hours, they can come down to the basement, place their prescription drugs in that drop box. There's no need to remove any labels off the pill bottles, but please, no syringes, none at all. And the medway agents make sure that the drugs are properly disposed of. This is our K-9 team of Officer Mike Smith and Freddie. They've been a team now for over 3 years. Last December, they've been together for 3 years. And you can see there was 86 deployments last year in 2015. Well, they had the same number in 2014, but that's a pretty good number because Mike Smith spent some time in training outside of K-9. Believe it or not, he does other things as well as K-9 work. He attended advanced SWAT. He also attended an 80-hour instructional course, skill course, I should say, and he also became an instructor for subject control. So Mike does a lot of things outside of K-9 work as well. So he's multifaceted, as you said. This is our breath testing instrument. It's called the Data Master. Sergeant Chris Pauly does a great job
making sure that the officers follow the rules and regulations set forth by the Department of Health. As you can see on the screen, 3-1 test for OBI last year in 2015, and the highest test was 0.362. The per se level for an adult 21 years of age or older is 0.08. That person is about four times more above the legal limit. That's pretty bad. And our lowest test was 0.000. Citations and warnings. We had 93 more citations last year than we did the previous year of 2014, and we had 82 more warnings. But one of the things I like to remind people of is that 1,004 does not represent paper tickets. It represents the number of violations. Many of our paper tickets have multiple violations like speeding, driving under suspension, not wearing a seatbelt. So it's the number of violations, not the number of actual paper tickets. Vacation checks declined last year by 65. We had 65 fewer vacation checks. But that typically depends upon the number of requests we get and the duration for those requests. If anyone's interested in having their home checked while they enjoy their vacation, if they call the normal business line at 330-684-5025, we'll be glad to check your home while you enjoy your vacation. So. It's a good program. This next slide here is new for 2015. There's a company called Safewise, and they're involved with home security systems. And they rated the top 50 safest cities in Ohio for 2015 by looking at a couple of different things. They took into account cities with populations of over 8,000 people. Secondly, they looked at 2013 FBI crime statistics. And lastly, to kind of level the playing field, they looked at what's the chance of these various crimes occurring per 1,000 people. And as a result, Orwell was the 41st safest city in the state of Ohio in 2015, according to Safewise Company. Okay, this is our criminal offenses, major crimes reporting. That's 2015 data that you see on your screen there, but I also have the 2014 data so we can compare both years, last year and 2014. In 2014 and 2015, we had no homicides. In 2014, we had 3 reported rapes. Last year, we had 1, so that's 2 less. Robberies, we had 2 reported in 2014, 1 last year, so that's 1 less. We had 10 assaults reported in 2014, 13 last year, that's an increase of 3. Burglaries, we had 16 reported in 2014, 17 last year, that's an increase of 1. But we have a dramatic drop in larcenies. We had 107 larcenies reported in 2014, 59 last year. That's a decrease of 48. And motor vehicle theft was 2 for both 2014 and 2015. And as you can see, for 2015, we had 93 major crimes reported. In 2014, we had 140. So that was a decrease of 47 fewer major crimes reported last year. And to give you some more recent historical perspective, we had 197 reported in 2011, 175 in 2012, and 141 in 2013. So crime keeps going down as far as major crimes. Okay, this is our investigative reports. As you can see, there were 359 investigative reports taken last year. That's less than 1 per day. I never recall have been so few reports taken in a 12-month period of time. We had 9 fewer reports taken last year than the prior year of 2014, and we also had 3 fewer felony reports taken last year compared to 2014. Okay, these are juvenile arrests.
These arrests are on-view arrests only. Again, on-view. They exclude traffic arrests with the exception of OBIs. Now, if you look at the totals, the number of arrests more than doubled from 8 to 17. That's an increase of 9. But they were primarily curfew, unruly runaway. We had a couple for domestic assault. But if you look closely, no on-view arrests involving alcohol or drugs involving our juveniles last year. Okay, this is an adult slide right here. Again, these are on-view arrests only. It does not include traffic arrests with the exception of OBIs. And I'm going to talk about a few of these different crimes up here. If you look at disorderly conduct arrests, they declined significantly from 19 to 8. That's 11 fewer arrests for disorderly conduct. But domestics did increase almost double from 7 to 13. That's up by 6. And OBIs did increase dramatically from 18 to 31. That's 13 more arrests for OBI. Underage consumption, that involves the 18 to 20-year-old group. Adults, that increased dramatically from 3 to 12. That's an increase of 9. And warrants went up from 97 to 111. That's an increase of 14. Overall, our on-view arrests involving adults increased from 156 to 195. That's an increase of 39. And this next slide here includes traffic arrests. As you can see, there were 46 more arrests last year involving adults than the prior year of 2014. And we had 9 more juvenile arrests last year compared to 2014. This is our accident report data. That's 2015 data. I'll share a couple statistics from the prior year of 2014 with you. In 2014, we had 156 traffic accidents total reported. Last year, we had 162. That's an increase of 6. However, we had a decrease in injuries from accidents. We had 35 complaints of injuries in 2014 and 16 last year. So that's a decrease of 19. The number one hour of the day for traffic accidents last year was the 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. hour with 17. And continuing on with accident data, we did not have any fatalities last year, but the number one day of the week for the most traffic crashes was a tie between Monday and Saturday with 28. And continuing to be a contributing circumstance every year is improper backing with 34. And the number one month for the most crashes is September with 21. And this last slide here is the department training. We invest heavily in our officers and our dispatchers so they can enhance their skills. It's really important for succession planning. And the last thing I have to say before I close out my annual report is that I will be retiring this year on April 29th. And that concludes my annual report for this year. I'll take any questions at this point in time.
Next year and listen to the next annual report?
Probably not. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
We thank you for the great job you've done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Carroza. I'll move to the next part of our agenda. Does anyone have anything for good of the order this evening? I see nothing. We have one more item. Yes, sir.
Mr. President, I move we adjourn.
Thank you. Second, Mr. Chu.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spirit?
Yes.
Forkman?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Chu?
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending our meeting. We're now adjourned.
No, I think that's why he doesn't have one. That's what it is. Steve, I gave you that sheet. That's what I need you for, 401.
I guess I need to give it to that 401 just to see where you think you're going to be.
I have a stack of things for you to sign.
You've got so many names.
Yeah.
Outstanding assets. Yeah, do it a lot. Because when you look at that sheet,
it's a lot more exciting than it really is. Yeah, when all that hits and you report that, it's going to look like we went on a spending spree.
Yeah. I won't tell him you did.
Yeah, that's good to know. It helps to know we had a new paper too. Remember, we had to do it on the wall last time. I thought it was broken. It has to go to you. It has to be either waived by you, and it has to come to you in some fashion. What you did tonight is not what it's done. No, you waive the public. By waiving the public hearing, it automatically goes through the exemption that we have. You made it.
And then it's coming back.
Yeah, what it happened, and I know I was here for that, and I think.